The main part of the preaching is going to be in Genesis 18. I'm going to read a verse out of 12, and we're going to go to Genesis 18. If you can't find Genesis, repent. Amen. That's a little Bible humor. I'm sorry. I'm just in one of those moods tonight. I think I'm going to teach and kind of preach too. So, and I'm not, I have a feeling, I don't know why this is, but God's really placed this on our heart. The name of this title of this message, the title of this message is Did You Laugh? I've been meaning to preach this for three services. So, but none of those services were not tonight. Tonight I feel like we're doing some preaching and teaching to people that are in ministry that are trying to do something. Or you've been called to do something. You're in ministry. So this is kind of some training in some areas. And then there's going to be some really deep preaching there in the middle. So if y'all can just bear with me, I think this will be helpful for you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, this is also Abraham, amen? Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee a name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. All right, now roll over to Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. I don't think we'll stay in 1 very long, but no, let's jump down to verse 9. All right, I want to give you this. Abraham is the father of the faith ministry. Amen? Y'all know him as Father Abraham. Is that correct? Write this down. It's a note. For 25 years, Father Abraham had no children. Never mind. Is that kind of shouting ground right there? Some of y'all should have said, man, thank God. Amen? This is a man who is going to be, he's got a nation inside of him. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ's lineage it will be traced all the way back to Abraham stepping out and saying, I'll go with you, God. I don't know who you are and I don't know what you are, but I will follow you. And on the promise that God says, you're going to be a father of many nations. 25 years later and you ain't got no kids. Most people don't even have ministries 25 years long. Am I helping you yet? Is there anybody in here getting some help yet? Has anybody here thought, man, God, where you at? You called me into this great thing. You want me to do this thing. You want me to preach. You want me to minister. You want me to, and hey, man, I'm not knocking it out of the park. Have you ever been in a situation where you wonder if God maybe made a mistake because it's not happening as fast as you want it to happen? Man, weren't you just supposed to take off and start reproducing other Christians and other believers? And you should be a nation by now. It's 25 years. I love this. I love this because there's sometimes where I feel like, man, God, can I tell you all this? You know, when I first started preaching, it was almost a year, maybe a year and a half before I seen the first person to come to know the Lord as I was preaching. Write this down. Salvation has nothing to do with how good you preach or how good you teach. But you know what? I'm just being real with you. I'm teaching you. Our psychological makeup as human beings, you don't believe that. You don't believe that. Every revival I've been to, every great meeting I went to, everybody walks out there and says, man, we had 25 saved. We had 30 saved. And if you didn't have any, well, we went revival. Had a lot of people there. But didn't the Bible say we're one plants and one waters? Right? And then who gives the increase? God does, right? So do you know when somebody gets saved, it really it's a project done by the community, but finished by God. One plants, one waters. You know when you see somebody come to salvation, do you know how much work went into that? You know how many prayers were made for that person? Do you know how many people shared the gospel with them? Do you know how many people God put in their path? Holy bum. And then some lucky guy, this guy or you or somebody else says, man, Jesus is great. And I'll take him. And you're sitting there praying with him. You're going, man, I'm good. I'm good. We had 25 people saved last night. Well, 25 people got sowed into. 25 people got watered. And God decided to show out and bless you. Amen? I said that in places and people don't like when I say it. God saving somebody in your presence doesn't validate your ministry. I've been in some dry places where you couldn't find God with a flashlight and a search warrant. Somebody gets saved and I promise you for the next 6 months, you're going to hear about that. Man, 3 months ago, we had a boy come in here. He didn't wait. He just got saved. That's God just, helping you out. That's Him putting the little, what do you call them things where they pop you back into life? Yeah, the shuckers. Somebody said the shuckers. Hallelujah. You're as country as I am. This person's dying. Go get the shockers. In some, see Alabama, baby. And somebody runs in with a jumper cables. You know, not those. All right. Oh, gosh. We just went full comedy routine, but I like that. Not that. The other ones, the paddles. All right. Praise God. It doesn't validate. Praise God, it's good, ain't it? It's good. I love to hear people get saved. I love when there's an environment that people get saved. But guess what? We got to go on. The greatness of Abraham's ministry is not what he is producing. It's the fact that he trusted and believed and had faith in God. If you're in the family of God, you are a success already. If you're still walking by faith and doing what God tells you, if you look like a complete failure, you're still a success. God, that's hard to get in your mind though, ain't it? I was sitting there thinking as she was singing that song, I was thinking of Charles Spurgeon. He's one of my favorites. But if you go back and study Charles Spurgeon, he had a real problem with depression. It would go on for weeks and months where he wouldn't even go to church. And he's called the Prince of Preachers. Nobody believes that. You don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe that either. Because every time I read the man's daily devotion or any book that he wrote, it takes about 4 words before you can feel the anointing. 4 words. It don't take but about 4 words. You're like, wow. Amen? I was reading a book just yesterday. I was reading a book, and I opened it up. It's his morning and night devotional by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And you know what it said? It said, "Wherein does thy great strength lie?" And I said, whoa. That got me. I was in already. What does that mean? Delilah had Samson, the strongest man in the world, in his lap. Amen? And she's beautiful. She's smoking hot. Some of you men, put your heads down. Don't act like you heard me say that. But she is amazing. That's sin, friend. That's what sin looks like, smells like, tastes like. It is amazing. Somebody about to act like, well, I don't know. But I'll come right back there, my friend. But guess what it really is? It will suck the life out of you. It's beautiful in the beginning, but when you get your eyes poked out and your head shaved, that's the most expensive haircut anybody ever got in the Word of God. I'm going to teach and I'm going to preach, so it's going to be a mix, Chris. You just hang in there. It's an expensive haircut, right? The Joker gets that, and look at this. That's what I got from Charles Spurgeon, a man who struggled with depression, but sometimes you got to go through some deep, hard times as a Christian, and God will still bring it out. There's going to be times, you better mark this down if you ain't been through it already, you will go through some really tough stuff as a Christian, and God is molding you, making you where you can minister to somebody else. Because if you can't go through some tough stuff, if you can't go through hard times, if God can't use you then, guess what? You're never going to be any good to anybody, because all you're going to be able to say is, "I'm strong! I'm strong all the time! I'm never weak!" And that's baloney. That's baloney. That's false. So maybe you're standing strong. I stood strong for a long time. And I stood strong for a lot of years. And I did. And I was right there. I'm like, hey, man, somebody needs to praise Him. Some people just need to go on and do it and pray. You know what? I sat by the bedside with a man full of cancer and me praying that he's going to get healed. And I felt like I got a word from God saying he was going to get healed. And guess what? That man went on to be with the Lord. That's tough. But that helps me sit in a room with somebody else and say, I don't know what God's going to do, but I trust Him, and you can trust Him too. Amen? There's going to be some tough times. You better go ahead and mark it down. You're going to stand. If you hadn't already, you're going to stand flat-footed in front of a mountain you don't think you're going to be able to climb, and you're going to look up at it, and you're going to say, God, are you going to move this? And more than likely, He's going to say, I'm not going to move it, but you know what I am going to do? I am going to give you some feet that you can climb it. I will make your feet like hinds' feet. He don't always move the mountains. Sometimes I'll just make it able to climb. What they used to say, that's why mountains have rough edges on them, because if they were smooth, you couldn't ever get up them. Never mind, that'll just preach somewhere else, I reckon. Sometimes I think I say cool stuff, and when I say it, everybody's like, well, maybe it wasn't so cool. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Let's go on down to verse 9. Have I not even preached here yet? Ain't that cool? You know what? I went in there. I was getting ready when we were doing fellowship. And I looked down and it's like 10 after 6, maybe 15 after. I don't know, Scott. I'm not being critical. I just looked down and went, dude, I'm going to preach for a long time. But then when I get up here, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to have enough time. Never mind. Sorry. Are y'all okay? I feel pretty comfortable now. I might just let everything rip. Is that all right? Verse 9. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And she said, behold, in the tent. Man, it's cool. It's one of the coolest places. About 20 some odd years later, they hadn't had a kid, and Sarah's in the tent. Some angels show up, about 3 of them. Amen. What are you going to be doing when angels show up? What it looks like, right? You ready? 3 angels show up. Abraham sees them. He goes, you guys, wait right here. Runs back to the tent, says, hey, honey, start cooking. God, that's cool, ain't it? Start cooking. Angels are here. Could you imagine? Ask, what do they want? Pizza rolls? What do they want? Tacos? What do they like? Hamburgers and glory? What are we cooking? God, I wish somebody would just shout in here every once in a while. It wouldn't hurt nobody. Ain't that cool? What in the world do you cook angels? Angel food cake? I don't know. Sarah starts putting the whoop on it. All right, we're going to get it done. I don't know what angels eat, but I'm going to cook it up, man. We're going to feed them right now. And he gets one in there. She's cooking. What are you guys here for? What do you guys want? What are you angels down here? See, angels are messengers for God. It's like when they speak, God speaks. You need to write this down. Some of y'all do. God ain't no chatty Cathy. He don't run off at the mouth all the time. He don't change his mind all the time either. I run into people all the time. God said do this. All right. 10 minutes later, God told me to do the totally opposite. Are you out of your mind? God told me to be here. Now God told me to leave. What? How in the world is that possible? Especially if He ain't done His purpose in what you're supposed to be doing. Women are some of the, I don't know how they do it. I do not know how women do ministry. I got one of them. And I don't know how she does it. Because God tells me, God shows me, and sometimes there's a delay. I'm like, God, I hope she gets on board with this. Because this is radical. And we're about to move. We're about to quit. We're about to do this. We're about to go out to something else. I hope God gives her the plan. Amen? You need to write this down because more than likely, He will. He will. Amen? I love this part because sometimes I want to be God and I want to deliver the message, but it'd be better if God delivers it. Where's your wife at? In the tent? Need me to get her? Nah, she can hear me. Amen? Can I preach right there, Betsy? I think God knows women, don't He? I think God knows them, don't you? Don't you kick me when I say this, okay? She's in the tent, but she's listening. She's in the tent, but she's listening. Got that ear right up next to the window. What's going on? Oh, no, that's none of my business. Just cooking, just doing it. I don't want making that angel food, trying to get that stuff ready. Amen? You ain't listening to us, are you? No, I ain't. It's amazing what ministry wise know. They know more about what's going on in the church than the men do. No, come on. Y'all can be silly about it, right? I mean, she's listening, man. Got her ear to the tent because she wants to know, because Abraham has been moved around. They've been through a lot of stuff. Abraham gets to talk with God. He gets to talk with people. He gets to interact. And sometimes, you know what Sarah gets to do? Getting put in Pharaoh's chambers for a whole night, wondering if she's going to get raped or not. Uh-oh, did I say that out loud? It's kind of tough, ain't it? Sometimes men, ministers, preachers, some of you in here, you better write this down. Sometimes it's not as fun for the wife, because guess what? They're going to be put in some tough spots, and people are going to be looking at them different than you, because you've heard from God and you get to be out there in the front and you get to speak your piece, and sometimes they just got to suffer in silence. Nobody likes to hear this kind of preaching. We might try to get out of this territory quick, right? But Sarah's suffering in silence. She's following a godly man trying to do a godly thing, and sometimes it puts her in danger. There's been times, man, I look at my wife and I'm going, man, how she won't say a word, amen? See, she's introverted. I'm extroverted, if you didn't know. Amen? Amen? If you didn't know already, if you don't know, something's wrong. The neutrons ain't connecting somehow. Amen? But I'm just telling you this. And guess what? Sometimes they got to suffer in silence. They don't get to speak. And sometimes God don't tell them right away. So we got to wait. As men, you better. Amen? Men, ministers, you better be patient with your wife. Love your God. Love your wife as God loved the church, and lay your life down for it. Sometimes you just got to be a covering. You ain't got to have God preach. You ain't got to have all the answers. Just be willing to listen to some of the problems. Some of y'all needed to write that down. That'd help you better than a college education. You ain't got to fix all the problems. Sometimes you just got to hear the situation. Most of them you couldn't fix anyway. Never mind. Sorry. Egos are just smashed now. I'm going to fix it all. Some of the men in here have been married longer than 20 years already. No. We ain't going to fix it. She just wants to hear you be there and hear you say, yeah, I got it. I got that. Amen. I love you. Everything's going to be all right. God, never mind. I'm going to save one marriage at least tonight. Here's what you do. You just listen to her. And this, I ain't kidding you. And I don't care if you're sitting there in your mind going, I don't know what to do. She's crazy. I don't know what to do. At the end, when she gets through, put your arms around her and tell her it's going to be all right. You can go in your prayer closet and say, God, I don't have a clue how it's going to be all right. That's your job. If you do your job, I'll do my job, and it'll be all right, right? Golly, this is better preaching than y'all are saying amen. I'm just saying. This is some good stuff. This is better than I thought it was going to be. I wish I'd have preached this two services ago. Y'all like this kind of stuff? I hope y'all like this, because this is it. This is real. This is real stuff. Sarah's standing there at the door wanting to know what's next. But this is good. Y'all ready for some fun stuff? I mean, just some gritty, good, fun stuff. He said, verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. I told you she was listening. She's supposed to have been cooking. Never mind. Now, Abraham, I'm glad they didn't have phones back then. I'm just kidding. Whoa! And Abraham and Sarah were of old age and were stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah as the manner of women. Verse 12. Here's the important part. Okay. Can I go back and get you right here? Let's go back and look at 11 real close, a little bit closer. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She stopped having a cycle to have children. Are you good now? Is ministry going to be hard sometimes? Is it going to be unexplainable? Is it going to be tough? Are you going to feel unqualified? Are you going to feel like you're rejected? Are you going to feel less than? You better go ahead and mark yourself up for it if you don't already. I'm trying to help you. Amen? I'm telling you, Sarah's sitting there going, well, I guess you just didn't choose me to help him. Gave him the wrong wife. He didn't give him the wrong wife. Because guess what? She's walking through it with him. She never gave up. She never quit. She never said, I'm done. Sitting there, listening. She ain't got nothing. Some of y'all need to write this down. She has zero capability of having a child except for God. Except for God. Some of y'all think, I'm done. I can't do it. That God loves to work when you get to the place where you can't do it. I can't tell you how many times I've said, I really can't do this. And all of a sudden God's, thank God. Thank you for finally getting your stinking hands off of it. Thank you for stop worrying. I'm glad you finally surrendered and got out of the way where I can now glorify myself through this. Because this is what I've been waiting for you to do. Wouldn't it be good if we could learn a little bit earlier? How many times have we got to go through the class before we say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should just give up right here and see what God wants to do instead of doing everything. Y'all good? Man, I'm telling you right now, she's down. Write this down. I know it's kind of weird, but write down, this is a dead womb. It's a dead womb. Ain't no life in there. I love this verse. This is my favorite. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Is that really in there? I'm nervous now. I don't know if I can preach this. She laughs at God. She goes, are you serious, God? Are these angels real? I mean, she laughed in herself. She thought, God, there's been times in ministry for me, God has spoke something in my heart, and I've like, you're going to be the blood pastor. You're going to be the pastor of the blood church. Betsy goes by and goes, I'm praying. You're out of your mind. I'm happy where I'm at. You being happy where you're at. It's being happy where God wants you at. It's being satisfied with God. Ooh. God, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to live in a boy's home. It doesn't matter what you want. Then you start trying to disqualify. In her case, I don't have the capability of making a child. God, I don't have an education. I don't know anybody. I'm not connected. I don't know what they know. They know so much. They know every name. They know every title. They're practically ready-made. Just add the holy water and you'll be making pancakes. Holy Ghost pancakes.
I don't even know what Holy Ghost pancakes are.
Some people just look like they just need water. Right? Oh man, he'll make a great preacher. Look at him. Golly, look at her. She's just perfect. All you got to do is just hold a little, add Jesus, stir. We knew it, right? Whew. I don't know who to look at on this deal. There's some people like me. Dude, I need the eggs. I need the flour. I need the dough. I need some bacon. You know what baking soda is? That's that little, you don't put a whole lot in there, but you're going to need it too. God, come on, son. Does anybody in here cook? Amen?
Everybody's in here. I was with you when you said instant. Amen?
Go, sister. Go, brother. But when I started saying baking soda and eggs and flour and corn, what are you doing? I'm talking about, golly, it seems like God has to do everything for you. He does. He got to do it all, man. I mean, he had to add it all for me. Sarah's like, I ain't got, man, you're funny. Can I go ahead and let this cat out of the bag? Guess what he's going to do? He's going to make her pregnant with Isaac. His name means laughter. It means laughter. The thing that you laughed and you thought was funny, you're gonna see it every day. You're gonna feel it every day. For 9 months, you're gonna keep. God, almost. It's good. She had laughter on the inside twice. You write that down, Melissa. I want that later. She laughed on the inside, but she was going to get laughter on the inside. God was going to fill her womb with laughter. Don't laugh at me, because I'm doing some stuff in you. Don't think I can't. Amen? We'll get to that in a minute. It's really cool. Y'all ready? I had to tell you that, because I couldn't hold that in. Some words you just can't hold in. Isaac means laughter. The rest, hey, let's just play real quick. You know how your kids get in trouble? Stop it, Isaac. Quit doing that, Isaac. Isaac, stop messing with your sister. Isaac, get over here. Let's change it. Laughter, come here. Laughter, stop. Stop laughing. She's got a. It's a constant reminder that, you know what? God brought something into her life that she could have never brought on her own. Sometimes I'm constantly reminding me. I say, why, God, why? Why what? Why'd you call me? Thank God you did. Amen? Hallelujah. This is great. Poor Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I teach this other part. Scott, go ahead and give me permission where I can. All right, good. After he nods his head. Hey, God, I can't do this. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure. And my Lord being also, she said, are we going to have some fun up in here? Come. Y'all shouldn't ask me to be a preacher here. I'm just saying. That's cool. Amen. Hey, it's marriage. That's okay. It's legal. Amen. She goes, and my husband in the tent? Amen? Woo! Wow. Is this going to happen? Come, man. Y'all. They didn't have Isaac by a miracle. Some of y'all looking at me like, I can't believe you. I hate to tell you this, but God ordained sex. He made it. We're the one who distorted it. We're the ones who messed it up. We're the ones who twisted it and make it weird. God made it good, and He made it right. And she was like, oh, my goodness. Golly, never mind. I love the Bible because it's in there. You don't like stuff. You don't like the real stuff. It's in there. She loved her husband, and her husband loved her. And God says, we're going to do it again. Never mind, sorry. Talk to me after church. Meet me out of the parking lot. Tell me everything you don't like. I ain't going to listen to you. 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did thy say? This is good. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child, which am old? Here it is, verse 14. Oh, man. Let's go to 15 and I'll finish up in 14. Y'all good? Y'all ain't going to believe this. Some of y'all do this stuff. Yeah, some of y'all do this right here. Then let's go to 15. I'll go back to 14, I promise. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou did laugh. She just laughed at an angel. She did. And got caught. Thank you. Aren't you glad? Are some of y'all just a little bit glad it's in there? I mean, just a little bit glad that everybody in the Bible didn't do it all the way right all the time. Then she went like this. She went, and the angel said, why'd your wife laugh about that? She said, I didn't laugh. Oh, the angel's so cool. Now listen, you got to understand. Now, I know this is kind of a hard, complex thing, but angels ascend and descend with words from God. They're not speaking on their own. They're speaking for God. So everything comes out of their mouth. It's not free will speech. This is God speaking. So God said, you laughed at me. She said, no, I didn't. God came back and said, yes, you did. Woo! Microphone drop. Yeah, you did. Oh. Don't say nothing else. Be all right. Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me or I'll put something on you, amen, that every day of your life, you'll name it laughter. You'll remind the day that you doubted God could do that. which is a cool thing. And ain't your testimony cool and kind of depressing at the same time sometimes? Think about it. Just bear with me, okay? God saved me at 30. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. And I was this and I was that and other, right? But why didn't I surrender when I was 8? And why did I have to do all that junk? I'm jealous of some people. So I was raised in church and then I got saved and I lived for God my whole life. I'm thinking, man, you're strong. What a strong Christian. What a great testimony. You didn't have to wait. You didn't have to go out and taste, touch, and smell, and do everything. Amen. Sorry, I can't be real with something on here, but I will be. God said, you know, the whole time, I don't even know where I can go with that. I just lost my train of thought. You all right with that? I'll be honest with you. This and there denied laughing. I laugh not. Thou didst laugh. Straight up, you did laugh. All right? God caught her in just a straight up, you did laugh. All right? I love that. I'm glad it's in there. Because it tells you, hey, God is, he's on the scene right here. Y'all good? I don't even know where that thought was going, so forgive me. Let's jump up. Go back to 14. This is where the meat is in y'all. You ready? Y'all ready for the meat of this message? I've been preaching for 35, 40 minutes, and here's the meat, right? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. What I want you to do is I want you to underline and highlight this right here, okay? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I want you to make this one of your life verses. Because no matter what you are going through, this works. If you're going through drug addiction, it works for that. God can break drug addiction. I've met so many people. God can't beat meth. Yeah, he can. God can't beat heroin. Yes, he can. God can't beat alcohol. Yes, he can. Amen? That's just some people that know me real close. They'll come up to me and say, I ain't never seen nobody get off meth. I said, well, I could take you and meet about 100 right now if you want to go. Amen? I don't know if y'all know this or not. It's starting to flip just a little. I mean, it's starting. I don't know how many. I got like 6 or 8 friends in here, right? All right. 3, 2, 1. I don't know. All right, Melissa and Pay. All right, good. About 60% of all my friends are addicts or former addicts. Do you know that? So I know a little bit about addiction, right? But I know a lot of men that are not addicts. They're not addicted to the drug or substance anymore. They're serving God and their families and their communities. And they're all over this country. Okay? So I know that, right? So when somebody comes up to me and says, ain't nobody beats that, I say, yeah, God beats that. Amen? He can beat that. He whoop that all over the place. You just got to want God more than you want the drug. Amen? When you find out who God is, God and drugs, ain't no comparison. I've been high since I got saved. I've been high on Jesus since I got saved. I don't mind to get. I love it. I love it when you get real good. I mean, the good stuff. When you get into some good stuff, I'm like, oh, I'll go back and get some of that. Just being honest with you. God can't help marriage. He can't help my wife. He can't help my situation. Yeah, he can. Problem is, how desperate are you for him to change it? Because if you really want him to change it, you'll pray like that. And you'll talk like that. And you'll sow into their life. You'll change your actions where they'll change their actions. If they can't see Jesus in you, well, praise God, why in the world would they come? Why would they want to change? I want this, I want that. Listen, beg God. Bomb God with your prayers over that stuff right there. And if it still don't change, praise God. You've done everything you can do. You're a minister in your home. Well, I can't do nothing about it. I've got into this pornography. I got into sexual stuff, and I can't get out of it. Yeah, the reason you can't get out is because you don't want out. When God becomes more beautiful than you, than the lust of your flesh, Then guess what? That stuff will slowly disappear quickly. I mean, it'll just go away. I don't have to look at stuff anymore. Hey, when I was a kid, the devil started me off on pornography. Amen? So you know what happened when I met Jesus? He started rewiring my mind and my brain. No, that's about it. That wire goes over here. No, that's not the way it works. Here's what he did. He showed my wife. My wife's sitting there. I'm thinking, when I was from my old mind, looking at her, whoa. But now God said, oh, no, that's not who she is. She's not that. She's not a thing. She's not a object. Unhook that. She's a, oh gosh, this is good. Help me. She's a helpmate. Help me. What? What's that? She's a helpmate first. I don't even know if what I'm, if, do I need a helpmate? Yes, Peyton, I need one, son. Amen. And one day, if you pray about it, get you a wife, you'll need a helpmate too, because she'll be everything that you're not. Hallelujah. Amen. If you've been married long enough yet, you'll say that. You'll say, my wife is everything I am not. Amen. And God does it on purpose. Amen. Because if He hooked two of you up the exact same, then man, y'all going to have some fun. That kind of fun. And then He's going to rewire some stuff. She's your friend. She's your best friend. If you got a spouse, and listen, I'm preaching to you. If you got a spouse, there's nobody your best friend more than your spouse. Amen. If there is, you got a problem. Rewire. Ask God to rewire it. My friends say. Guess what? I don't care what your friends say. Your wife's your best friend. Your husband's your best friend. Amen? Rewire friend. Oh, God. But I ain't got the good stuff yet, Chris. What? Where's the good stuff? Amen? Hey, God made this. God controls all this. He rewired it. Okay, now I'm telling you, that's your friend and your confidant and your pal, and she's your helpmate and your daughter. And guess what? Never mind. I can't explain all that, because if I do, then some of y'all are going to look weird at me, and I can't handle some of y'all looking at me the weird way y'all do. But hey, guess what? He made that too, and guess what? He rewires that, and that's better. It's better. Amen? I ain't going to get into all that. I'm just saying. God's good. Amen. So if you got problems with drugs, you got problems with marriage, well, financial trouble. I got financial trouble. Yeah, one of the biggest financial trouble is you steal from God and you rob from God and you never bless God with any of the stuff that He's blessed you with. Oh, here we go. Preacher's talking about tithing. I knew it. I don't care if you give one red nickel to this church. I don't. That's between you and God. But I will tell you, if He's given you the strength and the ability and the time to work, and He's blessed you, you better bless Him back. Amen. With at least 10%. Because you know what He's done in your life? He said, I've given you the ability and strength. And now check this out. What's your blessing? God, I wish you can get this in your mind. What you're blessing Him back with, it belonged to Him in the first place. David said it best. He said, I can't believe that you are taking stuff from me because you gave everything to me. I'm blown away that you let me give back to you the things that you gave us. Everything belongs to God. He just wants to see where your heart's at. I hear people all the time, well, I ain't going to give God. Golly, you know, have you ever thought about when you come in here and how nice the air conditioning is? Some of you even, well, it's too cold in here. Man, hey, some churches out there right now, they got fans. I'm talking about these kind. And that's, yeah, I'll come up in here right now. And then some of them, well, it's too hot in here in the wintertime. Praise God. Hey, some people go, man, love to have it. I'm wearing three coats. That's just lights and power, friend. That's good stuff. God, financial stuff. Golly. Some people work one job, two jobs. Worry about the money. Worry about it. Listen, you try to please God with the way you give and the way you go about life, and guess what? He has a way of putting you in the places that you need to be working in. Go ahead and preach. I will. I don't care. You want to get out of your job bad enough? Do you? Do you really want to get out of your job? Don't like your job? You know what you do? Here's what you do. Give me a recipe. Become a minister on your job. No, I'm being honest with you. I'm not talking about just running up on me. I'm talking about, God, you put everybody in my, because I know you placed me here for a reason. And when I get done with the season and I'm here, then that means you're probably going to move me somewhere else for another season. Well, praise God. I ain't kidding you. I'm giving you a good recipe because I've done this. Hey, man, I'm going to get busy here. And guess what? When you're done, God has a good deal of reassigning you to places. And then if you just keep doing it long enough, maybe you'll get into something you're very passionate about and you won't work a day in your life. Somebody said, man, Pastor, you got a tough job. I deal with some tough situations, but man, I ain't going to lie to you. Man, I'm not even going to lie. You look at the counselor looking at me right now going, thank God. Never mind, I'll talk about that later. Check this. I love what I do. I mean, I get up every day and I think, golly. God, I get to do this. Are you kidding me? You know, I do this for anything. Man, this is what I love to do. I mean, I get in to get in the Word and pull it apart, and then it can come in here and just blow it up for you. That's what I love to do. Is it all about preaching? God, I wish it was. I get to get in the message with you guys. I get in the low places and the high places, and I love them all and in between. So you don't think, oh, preacher, God. Hey, we're going to have good days, we're going to have bad days. Amen. But my God, we get to do what we get to do. You want a new job? Get busy serving God in your present position. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. So wherever you're at right now, whatever mountain you're looking at, whatever problem you're staring at, you need to look at that problem and say, is there anything too hard for God? And you go ahead and answer it and say, no way. No. I'm good. I can handle it. Let's all stand as I come get a song of invitation.